Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
At 425, Dan Snyder allegedly made a couple of his employees at different times pour milk on the floor in the suite at FedEx Field of Mark Lerner because he was upset at him and he wanted it to be sour and rotten smelling in that suite when Lerner came to games.
Oh, my God.
He was upset because he thought Lerner charged him too much for some real estate where he wanted to build a parking lot out by FedEx Field. That is the allegation. We will get into some of the pettiest things we've done or seen done or had done to us. And we'll get some feedback from you guys on that coming up at 4:25. 5 o'clock, State of the Union on the Wizards. Draft is tonight. Bradley Beal. He's always doing these kind of vague comments. I never know who he's talking to or where it's coming from. I just always see them floating around the internet. I saw this just a couple of minutes ago. It's a quote from Beal, unattributed to anybody, via this Twitter account, NBA Central. And it says, from Bradley Beal, my biggest fear is that I walk away from the game without giving myself a chance to win, end quote. I just feel like there's been this does he want to be here, doesn't he thing for years, and he could easily squash it at any point, and he doesn't want to do that. He loves whatever this is.
Whatever that is.
The having to appeal to him and appease him and having to keep him happy, and he could walk at any moment. And we're all walking on eggshells, like if Bradley Beal left, oh my God, everything would fall apart. As if they haven't been terrible the entire time he was here, pretty much. So we can discuss the State of the Union with the Wizards coming up in about 55 minutes with Tony Massenberg. But let's get to the Beltway Blitz right now. The teams and stories in town you care about, will jam them into a segment. We start on the diamond. Chelsea Janes, Washington Post, Nats, Major League Baseball. Chelsea, last night, an abbreviated game for the Nationals in Baltimore because of the rain. Your thoughts, just big picture now, 22 under 500, 25 and 47, some of the good, some of the bad, some of the ugly. How you feel about the year to this point?
You know, I think really, you know, I was chatting with Riz and Davey yesterday, and one of the things they both said is, like, with starting pitching, you can do everything, and without it, you know, you can't do anything. And that's something they've said the whole time, and I think they're kind of dealing with it. I mean, obviously, Corbin and Strasburg being who they have been or not been is a big part of it. But I think, you know, they need these young pitchers to take their lumps. And really, sometimes the only way that can happen is for you to send them out and let them get hit around a little bit. And this is that year for them. And we'll see if they're right on these guys and they figure it out.
Yeah, Chelsea, the, you know, results, wins, losses. Now, if you win with some young guys and a few games here and there, that's good. If you don't, I'm not terribly concerned about it. It's you know, eyeball towards a couple years from now. But the path to them being good, as they want to be in short order, without Steven Strasburg potentially, is really murky. How do they do it without that amount of payroll committed to a guy that may not be able to pitch for them? Let's say he can't. How do they get good?
You know, Barry, my colleague, has written about the insurance that's there. That we're, like, at the point where that feels more realistic almost than, you know, a Steven Strasburg return. But they're in trouble, and it'll be interesting to see if new ownership is willing to splurge a little bit, if that comes to pass. But you're right. I mean, I think the past, when they traded Trey Turner with Max, they were extending this process. If they wanted to do it, it wasn't going to be next year, because if it were, you know, you'd try to keep Turner around. So I think they knew this is a couple years away, and it feels almost impossible for them to accelerate at this point. But, you know, I think it's true that there's a lot of, like, promising young pitching there, and we've seen flashes of it. And if something flips for a few of those guys, you look a lot better. But right now it's a long ways away, and I think really the big hope is Soto stays and whoever buys the team wants to make a splash right away.
What is the realistic return right now for Josh Bell when they put him on the block here a few weeks out?
That's a good question, and I think it depends on where they're willing to go with him. You know, in the past, I think they've been hesitant to maybe go in division. But, you know, somebody, if, like, the Mets are interested in something like that, if, you know, there's teams around that might be interested they wouldn't normally consider, but since they're out of it, you know, maybe you can, you know, get some bidders involved in the NL East or places you wouldn't normally. So I don't know. I don't think it's huge. I don't think you're going to get a, you know, an everyday player kind of prospect, but a good relief prospect who pans out, or kind of a long shot high end starter who pans out. But you know, at this point, they're just kind of taking flyers as much as they can.
Chelsea, who's going to win the NL East?
You know, I think it'll be the Mets. But we've said that before.
Yeah.
You know, I think the Braves are probably the most complete team when they're right. But you know, the Mets had something this year, so we'll see if Max comes back and is 100%. If DeGrom ever comes back, you know, that's hard to argue with. They think they have the vibes this year, which is half the battle for them. So I think they hold on, but I think it's going to be interesting. And I think, you know, I think even if they do win the division, the Braves, they're still a huge threat when you get to October.
By the way, I loved Max's comment after his rehab start, where he's like, I don't want to be a Rumble Pony. I want to be a Met. I just thought it was the funniest thing in the world, because their team name is the Rumble Ponies. Max,
yeah.
Like, he has no... He
they
has
have a filter
no ability
on that, yeah.
To, like, joke about anything, and he's just like, I don't want to be a Rumble Pony. I want to be a Met. I just thought it was so funny.
It's bad for the brand, for sure. Bad for the brand.
That's what my four-year-old says. Like, he would say it just like that.
It was just...
Without the nasty stuff.
I just kept watching the clip on a loop. I needed, like, just a gif of him
I
saying,
I don't want to be a Rumble
I
Pony.
I don't even want to be a Rumble Pony. I want to be a Met. On the Nats real quick, as far as trade chips go, so I asked you about Bell. Nelson Cruz is another one that comes up. Do you think they should? There are a couple of pitchers they actually could get a little something for because there's some controllability left. But then you get into, well, should you even be trading those guys because they're cheap and you can keep them? And I'm talking about, say, Tanner Rainey or even Eric Fetty as a back of the rotation arm. Should they try to move those guys, or should they be keeping them?
I was thinking about that yesterday, and I think you move them. I don't think there's, like we said earlier, any reason to believe that you're going to, you know, feel losing Tanner Rainey when you're kind of, if you're 500 in 2 years, which, it seems like it's going to be a while. So one of the things we've seen with teams like the Tigers or these teams that kind of have felt like they've been right on the cusp for a long time is they didn't pull the trigger when they could. And I think, you know, if you have something that can get you something now, I think you have to do it. I think you have to take a chance that you can turn something decent into something better, because right now, you know, it's not helping you do anything.
Who among their young kids do you think is going to be really and truly a contributor here? I don't mean just someone that's on the roster, but someone that could be a first division player.
Yeah. I mean, people really like Brady House, who they kind of fell into in the draft last year, as we know, wasn't, I think, kind of a typical Nats pick, but was around and they kind of a no-brainer. Heard a lot about him from people with other teams and how good he looked. I think Cade Cavalli is the real deal. You know, we've seen him have some ups and downs, but, you know, everyone you talk to is pretty high on him. So, you know, I think there are pieces there, but again, those are two names, and you're going to have to be surprised by some others. And one of the things the Nats have done really well is, you know, draft players who are no-brainers and not ruin them. You know, Anthony Rendon, Steven Strasburg, and Bryce Harper. So I just don't know if there are any no-brainers there anymore. I don't know if you can count on the same kind of, success from the draft that they've had in the past. And that's what they built the last team on, and they're going to need it again somehow, you know, this time around.
Chelsea, thank you for the time, and congrats on a huge couple of weeks for you. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Chelsea.
You got it. Be well. There's Chelsea Janes, Washington Post, on Grant and Danny. By the way, real quick, Brady House hitting like 275 on the injured list for the second time this season.
Yeah, hadn't
right
played
now.
Since in a couple weeks almost, right?
June 11th, I think.
Yeah.
Because every night I look up all the minor league teams on their box scores, and it's just never Brady House in the box score for Fredericksburg, and he wasn't on the injured list. And then his coach finally in some interview said something along the lines of, yeah, he's not quite healthy, and he just wouldn't say what was wrong, and no one knows anything still.
I would love someone to say something.
But they put him on the IL today. So it's been almost 2 weeks. They finally put him on the IL. 7-day injured list, and we still don't know what's going on. But there is some tomfoolery afoot. I can smell some tomfoolery afoot.
It smells like sour milk.
It smells like milk under someone's chair. Let's talk about football.
Commanders.
Darren Haynes. Watch him on Channel 9. Darren, have you ever poured milk out underneath of the carpet where your people sit that you're trying to get at?
No, I've spilled milk in my room, and I didn't want to get in trouble for my mom and dad when I was a kid, and I didn't clean it up properly, and it began to smell really bad.
Darren, what do you make of both Ron Rivera and then from the desk of Jason Wright, but also Dan Snyder, I guess from a yacht somewhere in France, releasing statements here in the same day that Congress is going through their rigmarole and the hearings with Roger Goodell that Snyder elected not to participate in? They're very adamant that a lot of things have changed. And I've got some examples saying, well, you haven't done that great a job yet. But what do you make of those statements being put out yesterday?
So, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, I've kind of, you know, with my sources on both sides of the parties, kind of hear both sides. And I think what they're trying to do, meaning like the Commanders, the new edition of this franchise, is, you know, they don't want their current employees, you know, to be discouraged or feel bad and stuff. But they also want to get that image out there that they're trying to change it. And this was the past, even though they recognize it. But they want to make sure that all the employees that work for the Washington Commanders know, like, things have been changing and they're going to continue to change it, even though we've seen a lot of the past kind of overshadowing some of the work that Ron Rivera has done and Jason Wright has done since they've been hired by this particular franchise.
So, I mean, again, I feel like I'm just picking on to pick on, but you didn't put a video up for Ryan Kerrigan when he came back. You botched the Sean Taylor honoring ceremony. You know, you sort of summarily dismiss guys like Nick Sundberg, the man of the year.
Investigation into a trainer.
Yeah, I mean, there's a list of stuff here.
Rio 100,000.
Yeah, didn't even get into, you know, FedEx falling apart or you know, some fan complaints and the like. But you see my point, Darren. It's like, yeah, you want to brag about how better things are. We'll make them better then. I don't know how much better we're really doing here.
So obviously the mindset is they want to make it better. And now let's look at it from a franchise standpoint. You know, is there certain things going on, you know, regards to sexual harassment and stuff like that? I hope not. But according to them, you know, that stuff is now out of the building. We can kind of only go off of their particular word. But, you know, like the FedEx situation, you know, you can't blame Ron Rivera or Jason Wright for that. That's just an old stadium that I think that's probably more of a Dan Snyder thing or the people who worked on the particular stadium. But then again, I mean, there's just a lot of bad luck with this particular franchise, and it could be a karma thing. You know what I mean? Just from what has happened in the past, all that stuff is now coming back to bite them. But one thing that I know, like, Ron Rivera really wants to make clear, even though there has been negative things under his reign, is that all those really bad things that they're going to Congress about is the culture that Ron wanted to change when he came here. And that's the same with Jason Wright as well.
Is there any way, Ron Rivera would never admit this, by the way, but if you gave him some truth serum, is there any way you think that he would actually sign up to do all this again? Like, if he knew what was going to happen in his first 2.5 years here, because he could have easily not gone to Washington. Remember, he was out of football for like 4 weeks. He was the first coach hired in the cycle when the offseason started. He could have sat a year out.
I was just thinking about that yesterday, and I was like, man, like, and I thought about it even in Jason Wright's, like, eyes. I was like, I wonder if he goes home and he's like, what the heck did I sign up for?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot that a lot of people just don't want to deal with, or, you know, don't get me wrong, they care about it because it's very important. But eventually when, you know, you get into and caught up into something where you knew you had nothing to do with it and you have to deal with all the negative stuff, like, that weighs down on you. I mean, just for me, just covering this story, I have nothing to do with the franchise. I just cover it. And it's exhausting. It's exhausting to cover this particular franchise with all the negativity. So I'm sure Ron Rivera, and I think he did admit maybe during the football season, you know, he didn't expect it to be like this bad. But I'm sure there's got to be a time where he's sitting with his wife at the table, like, baby.
What have,
like,
I done?
Oh, well,
because,
gosh,
Darren,
yeah,
he could have, like, I always think about it this way. He could have not coached for that season, and when you're out for that year, it just builds the interest. And everyone knows you're coming back, and you put out your feelers, and he's got national media member all the time that leak whatever he wants. And you do, you know, what's the guy's name that used to work here, the NFL Network, Mike
Silver?
Silver, yeah. Writes his big story, yeah, about how Ron Rivera is the best coach available and whatever else. And you do all that for a year, and the hype goes, and you're going to make a ton of money, and you're not here. I wonder how often he thinks about how he jumped at that first offer and had those first meetings with Dan.
Listen, this just think about it. During that time, what was it? Was it January 2020? Like, it was a totally different world. The name wasn't even changed. I mean, yep, don't get me wrong. There were a lot of negative things about the owner, but things have completely changed since that moment. I mean, the investigation, there's been tons of allegations, but the investigation of the team didn't even exist at that time. The women who came forward, the former employees, that didn't even happen at that time. So the way the franchise looked back then was totally different, and it could have been very appealing to many people. I mean, my former college head coach, Darren Rizzi, who's with the Saints, I remember texting him. I was like, hey, would you take this Washington at the time Redskins job? And he's like, absolutely. You know what? I should text him actually today and be like, hey, would you take it out? Next time I come on this show, remind me to tell you what his answer was.
Okay.
I love it. Darren, awesome job, buddy. Thanks as always, man. Talk soon.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks.
That's Darren Ains of Channel 9. Go check him out this evening. NBA draft is tonight. I just saw this tweet from Shams Charania. By the way, this is what I'm about to read you.
Don't say the thing I'm going to say.
You don't know what I'm going to say yet. This Shams Charania tweet is what I hate about the NBA.
Yep.
This is why I'm a fan of basketball. I'll always be a fan of the Wizards. The NBA has kind of made me a casual fan. This tweet from Shams Charania. Sources: Kevin Durant is monitoring the Brooklyn Nets situation and considering options with his future. This now opens the path for Kyrie Irving to proceed on finding a new home via opt-in and trade. First of all, I don't know what that means. So Kevin Durant may leave, so now Kyrie is going to leave first? What exactly is he saying?
So previously he wasn't monitoring, but now that he's monitoring, he's upgraded his status from not monitoring to monitoring.
Also, what does that even mean? Like,
it means nothing.
Monitoring.
It's so annoying. I hate this.
So Kevin Durant's agent says to Shams, hey, we need you to say Kevin Durant is monitoring.
Yeah, so we're monitoring this. It means we're privy to it. We know what's happening. We're monitoring.
He's basically just trying to get them to do whatever he wants, draft the guy, trade for the guy, whatever.
We're in the loop. So if, you know, we understand what's going on with Brooklyn, because basically there's awkwardness with the Kyrie Irving extension versus not. I think they're kind of done with him. I get the sense Durant is done with him. And, you know, people are going to try to figure out what to do with Kyrie Irving.
It's almost like players aren't great GMs while they're playing.
Is that a fact?
Yeah. You put your little trio together. You want to hang out with your pal and talk about girls and play Xbox or whatever it is that you're doing at your sleepover. Next thing you know, you're not friends with that guy anymore.
Yeah, it works when you got LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh together. And it took a Ray Allen, you know, deflection miracle three-pointer for them to win that title over the Oklahoma City
GM
Thunder.
GM LeBron's swung and missed a few times.
Well, yeah, but
when the Lakers this year say. Were
thank you, Coach.
Pretty terrible.
When you let him do it, you get Tristan Thompson on a huge contract, you know?
Durant won his two titles with the Warriors. Those were his only two championships, yes?
Yes.
That's real interesting. With Steph Curry. With that great team. He's got something to prove still, I would say, if we're going to put him in the pantheon of the all-time greats, right? He's got to figure something out. When you start hopping around and chasing championships on a second team now, it's not a great look, man. I would probably just stay put and see if I can win one in Brooklyn. That would be what I would do.
Be the best player on a championship team. Now, I will say he was the best player that year on the Golden State title team. When they had to beat Houston, you know, Curry took a back seat. Durant was unbelievable.
He still went to a 72-win team or whatever it was.
Well, yes.
He still went to the best team in the NBA.
Everything you're saying is true.
To get the rings that he got. And that's fine. He's allowed to do that. But then you can't get mad when people say, you went to that team to get your rings. Like, it's okay to do that, but you can't do that and also be angry when someone acknowledges that you did it, which is what happened. Sorry, dude. You get what I'm saying?
I get exactly what you're saying. I smell what you're cooking.
I can order a steak and eat it. I just can't yell at you when you say, hey, you ordered that steak and you ate it.
Yeah. Well, the big takeaway, though, is, and I hate this about the NFL, too, because we start doing this. I don't know when it started, but when it became a 24/7 news cycle.
The NFL's trying to get there.
Yeah, when it became a 24/7 thing, we have to fill the time all the time. It's sources are saying that a guy is considering something. Report it or not. Either well, report or it's not.
I just want to go back.
Whatever this is, I despise it.
I'm a player guy by and large, but I want to go back to a player considering something shouldn't mean anything, to be completely honest with you. That's not to say you have no power, but this idea that Kevin Durant woke up today and decided he's good on Brooklyn, like, shouldn't mean that everything gets blown up now and that the dozens of people that have worked to put this thing in place around you that you crafted are now screwed. But we'll see what happens tonight. That's a Shams tweet from just a few minutes ago. Next, Dan Snyder is very petty. We know that. It's the most petty thing you've ever done or had done to you. We're G&D.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Now, brown gal.
Focus up. Lock it up.
Now, brown gal. The arsonist had oddly shaped feet. It's good working with Ryan. He's a good guy to have around.
Oh, man.
Tony Massenberg, State of the Union on the Wizards at 5, and GW's new basketball coach, Chris Caputo, coached at Miami this past year with Jim Larrañaga. They strategized to stop some of the best players in the country who are getting drafted tonight. We'll have him on the show to preview the NBA draft at 6 right here on The Fan. But Danny, this story today that we've been discussing, started the show early on just reacting to because it's incredible. Got us thinking about a potential topic. So if you're just jumping in the car, you didn't hear the beginning of the show, it's been fun so far. Go to thefandc.com to podcast. You can obviously rewind the show with the Odyssey app as well. But Dan Snyder allegedly had an employee secretly pour milk on the floor in Mark Lerner's FedEx Field suite. He was upset with Mark Lerner, allegedly, over how much money he had to pay Lerner for some real estate where they wanted to build a parking lot near FedEx Field. And so he was so upset about that, that he had this former employee named David Palkin and another person whose name is redacted pour milk on the floor under where Lerner sat at FedEx Field in his suite so that it would smell really bad and make him physically not happy or uncomfortable to be there or gagging. the next time he was at a game.
These are team executives doing
it's just,
this.
I mean, it's an amazing thing. Just the way that it was written in this answer, the transcription of Paukin talking to the House Oversight Committee investigation was just incredible. I'll just read an excerpt really quickly. "We completed a business deal with the Lerners that, in Dan's view, was way too much money to pay, but we needed the parking. And this happened. The story I'm telling happened to me, and it happened to a redacted name we can't see, where Dan wanted to see Mark Lerner's suite. And we go up there to his suite. This was on a non-game day. And Dan asked me to pour milk on the carpet under the seating in Mark Lerner's suite so that the suite would smell." I just can't. "Would smell like sour milk when the Lerner family came in on game day. And he had this name that's redacted. Do that on another occurrence. So, if you're asking me things I regret doing, this would fall under that category. I owe Mark Lerner an apology, but I did it because Dan told me to do it." Just a really weird, creepy, out there, kind of a deranged idea to even come up with. But the word that I think best describes that is incredibly petty. It's just a petty thing to do.
And that's what he's done historically. Again, we are here with him being subpoenaed potentially by the House Oversight Committee and asked to appear. An investigation ensued because it all started. He was mad at Bruce Allen for not texting him congratulations as a condition of Bruce Allen receiving the money that he was owed by being employed by Dan Snyder for 10 years.
So in honor of this, the question then becomes, Danny, what is the pettiest thing you have ever done? What is the pettiest thing that has ever been done to you? And we want to open up the phones right now. MGM, National Harbor Listener Lines. Put your thinking caps on. Go back in time if you have to get even with someone. Maybe someone that broke up with you, buddy of yours that screwed you over. 800-636-1067. Fellas in the production room, if something comes to mind, we are looking for stories here. 800-636-1067. So, Danny, let's start with you. You can either, you're the victim or you're the aggressor. Petty time in your life.
I will cite first an example that I saw once. This isn't to me, by me, for me, about me. And then I'll give you my story. I saw a guy once who disagreed with some tickets that he had gotten. And he thought he shouldn't have gotten them, whether they were parking tickets or different things, whatever. So he went to his local municipality to pay them in person, which is an option, and brought nothing but pennies. He brought hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pennies for them to deal with. Basically saying, this is legal tender. You got to accept it. You're going to make me do it? I'll do it my way. So that's the level we're talking about here.
I absolutely, I mean, that to me, I've seen more in like movies or whatever, but you know that that happens where people will show up and they have to pay and it's every single penny, essentially. This actually jogs my memory. I actually thought this was an incredible punishment, but I remember watching this story in, I want to say it was driver's ed in high school. A guy had tragically gotten behind the wheel and killed a young woman, young girl, who was driving based on being, I think, inebriated. It was like a drunk driving situation. And the judge had ruled the family didn't want like any money from this person, except that they wanted him to send them a $1 check every year on the date that he killed the girl. And their thought was essentially so that he always had
to remember
it,
yeah.
Basically. Now, again, I'm not judging that as if to say that he shouldn't have to do something, but or even calling it petty might not even be fair, but I think that that's perfectly like a way to think of something to get back at someone like that, right? Where it's like, I want you to have to remember this forever. It's not even about the money for me. You just can't forget because I'm never going to be able to forget.
My story goes thusly. Shortly after my career was over, I love coaching. So I coached this the summer travel team. So there was an A team and then kind of a B developmental team. So it was guys that were going to be high school juniors and seniors. A lot of the prep schools kind of in and around D.C. And some of these kids were pretty good ball players. Most hoped to make the A team the following summer or maybe go on and play in college if everything worked well, right? But it was a developmental team. Everybody played every game. We shuffled positions. Everyone got a chance. I would do fun stuff for the kids, or tried to do fun stuff to spice it up because they were getting their brains beat in here on occasion, playing against some good teams. I'd pick the lineup out of a hat. I'd let some of the players set the lineup. I would do fun, quirky stuff where whoever got to the field first, you could bat first. And, we'd do it that way. Just sort of mixing and matching, doing some things to try to keep it, developmental and fun for high school kids. So a couple things happened that summer. The head coach of one of the rival private schools in the area.
Who I don't have a rival here.
I'll say it rhymes with Schmurray. Insisted on calling a meeting with me and the head coach of the boss of the program, and accused me, because several parents had accused me behind the scenes that he was going to be the representative, of being biased against his players. Insanity. None of these dudes are Sandy Koufax. Not one. Everybody plays every game. It's developmental. It was insane. That was just the tip of the iceberg. These parents made my summer so unbelievably miserable. I couldn't stand these people. And I wasn't very mature. Still not, but more mature now, I wouldn't do this now. After the final game of that summer, I went out and I got rip-roaring blind drunk. As intoxicated as I've ever been. I got scrapes on my legs. I got injuries on my arms and shoulders. I'm tackling mailboxes on the way home from someplace in Georgetown. I am MC Hammer time. About 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, after I've eaten my Cheese Steak Factory, not Cake Factory, Cheese Steak Factory. Shout out Wisconsin. Shout out M Street. I finally pummeled all that. I take out my cell phone and I dialed every single parent every parent that gave me a hard time from that team. And if they answered the phone, I told them what I thought. And if they didn't answer the phone, I left them a voicemail. Now that I don't have to deal with you, here's what I think of you. Each and every one of them. There were a total of 11 parents that I spoke with or left messages for that night. It was not well received by the company I represented. It was not very well received by the parents at all.
Might have been the end of the road skipper in that club.
Yeah, because it was going to be either way. I left coaching. I love coaching so much. I left coaching altogether for a couple of years after that because it was so miserable and so awful, and because I wasn't welcome back after that.
The one that I can never really get past, and this is a character issue, I would say. If someone parks terribly, double parks, I view this for some reason as some personal affront when it's not about me at all. But if I see someone just, here's a line, and their car is like splitting the line down the middle, right? They're in two spots. They're more important than everyone else. And I don't even know when they got there. Maybe that's where they had to park because there were cones up. I don't know. But when I see that, it drives me nuts. And it's like I can't let it go. Because I just assume that this person was personally attacking me. They hate me. They think nothing of me because I'll need the spot too. So most of the time I do nothing. But there was a time where this car is not like splitting the two spots, straddling them down the middle, but I would say was like maybe 3 feet over the line into the spot that they were mostly not in.
Mm-hmm.
I pull into to a point where now my left tire is basically on the line itself. My right tire is so close to them that they can't even get in their car. So they have to, when they come back, go through the passenger side door, climb across the little middle compartment, and go into their driver's seat from the passenger seat, or they're going to wait until I come back,
mm-hmm.
and we'll have some type of awkward interaction where they're going to tell me what a jerk I am, and I'm going to say, oh, sorry, I didn't even notice you were there. I was just parking in my spot.
Yeah, what did you have a retort and conversation plan?
No, they were gone. Oh, yeah,
like, you had
sure.
something planned? Like, what are you going to say?
Yeah,
like,
I always, in my mind,
I'm going to stand up to him and be so tough.
It'd be very easy because I'm not going to fight this person. I'm an adult. So what it would be is they would scream at me and tell me they hate me, and I would say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't even notice your car was right there because it's obviously not supposed to be. I wasn't even paying attention. I just parked in my spot. Really sorry about that. That's the first thing that comes to mind when I think about times where I could have easily just not done that, but I couldn't let it go. And I decided to be Bryce and Richard and Kyle and Tom and petty it up just a little bit. What's the most petty thing you've done or had done to you? That's the question. Dan Snyder's having people pour out milk in Mark Lerner's suite, allegedly, at FedEx Field because he didn't like how much he charged him for some land. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067, MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. Your turn next. Let's see if we can find some good petty stories here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Tony Massenburg, 15 minutes from now. State of the Union on the Wiz. Draft night tonight. Any chance they make a blockbuster move? Been some speculation about that. Danny, tell people about Operation Curdle.
Well, Operation Dairy Drop took place over a deal that Dan Snyder and company agreed to, by the way, via the Lerner family. They bought some land for some parking. Very important stuff, the parking revenue for old Dan Snyder. And Snyder didn't like the terms of the deal, so he ordered, allegedly, according to testimony, a couple of his employees, high-ranking employees, by the way, not like low-level guys, not the people that are cleaning up the facility, like CEOs and team presidents and vice presidents and the like.
That's funny, too. Good point. One of these guys is a COO that did this.
Yeah, just insane. To pour some milk in the suite under the chairs of Mark Lerner and the Lerner family so that eventually their suite would stink of rotten, curdled milk.
If you are new to the Commanders, if you're new to the Dan Snyder game, you're not going to believe that. You've been around a little while, you go, maybe. And again, someone would have to have made that up, number one, which would be crazy. And number two, lied under testimony, like perjury type stuff. Why would you do that? So we're recounting petty things that we've done, seen done, had done to us. Matt's in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Matt?
What's up, Matt?
How's it going, guys?
Hey, man.
All right. You know, the pettiest thing I've done, a guy owed me a few dollars, and he just was adamant he wasn't going to pay me. So I went and bought a can of sardines and took the sardines out and put the can under his car seat up in the spring. So if he looked under the seat, he wouldn't see it. And...
What time of year was that?
Tell me it was July.
In the summertime.
Oh, yeah.
It was in the summertime.
Oh, God.
So after about 3 days, every day he came home, he was vacuuming his car out and shampooing the car. He kept saying, something's wrong with my car. There's a smell in my car. It's a smell. And he never figured it out. Oh. And that was the best way I got him.
That's tough. If you never figure it out, how does it ever go away?
I don't know that it does.
I mean, at some point, does the smell dissipate a little bit?
I don't know how that would work, the physics of it. I mean, we actually had friends who, their little kid had milk in the back of the car, right? Drinking a bottle as they're driving around.
I got two kids. Yeah. It happens all the time.
You know, of course. And they didn't know how much had spilled on their the floor mats, right? So by the time they realized, we had left a bottle in there, but it's empty, that's nothing. And it all spilled out, and they had this like milk smell, you know, that gross hot milk smell in their car for weeks and months before they discovered it.
Keeping my wife's car just smelling normal with the two kids in it all the time,
it's impossible.
With food and drinks and all the stuff they're doing, it is. That's a grind. Ernie, Fort Washington, you're on the Fan. What's up, Ernie?
First time listener, long time caller.
Hey, Bert.
Attaboy.
I got you.
Hey. Darius started playing the.
I fell for it. I fell for it.
So Darius is scrambling to find the button right there, and then he went, "Wait, oh no! It was too late." Well played, sir.
The Snyder move reminds me of something similar to what we were put up to do one point in time, back in the day when we had the Washington Warthogs. They were on a streak where they just could not win a game. This was an indoor soccer league.
Oh, yes, it was.
Of course. I used to love them. Dennis Cabral was their goal scorer. Used to do backflips. Right. I got steamed up.
And at one point in time, if you remember, Christine Lilly was a Warthog.
I don't remember that.
From the women's national team.
Wow.
Yeah, she was a Warthog from the national team. And she never played. That's the funny part about it. But this particular night, after they were losing and it was coming down to the end of the game, we were enlisted by, I'll say a higher up. I won't say who it was, but we were enlisted to go back in their locker room and trash their locker room.
The visiting team?
No, the home team.
Oh, my gosh.
Team.
Wow.
We were enlisted to go back in there and trash their locker room. You know, that used to give you the little magazines and the newspapers, the Warthog
programs,
news or whatever.
Yeah,
sure.
It wasn't really a program, but it sounded like a newspaper. But we were told to go in there and scatter them all over the room and throw water all over the place. We tried to keep it off clothing, of course, and whatnot. But I remember years ago thinking back on it, and I was like, damn, you know.
What am I missing? Why did they want you to do that to the home team?
Because they couldn't win.
Because they lost?
The like I said, it was a Warthog higher up. I won't say who it was.
Wow.
But it was a Warthog official, I guess, was trying to light a fire underneath the team.
That was US Air Arena back in the day, I think, would have been where that was. I don't think they ever made the transition to Cap One Arena. Let's go to David and Bowie. David, we're talking about some of the pettiest things we've seen.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Appreciate you.
So I was refereeing. It was either a 7 or 8-year-old soccer game. And all through the first half, I was just getting the business from the parents on the sideline in every language that you can imagine. And because I wasn't calling, you know, fouls. Now, granted, I would call the fouls that were that should be called. So the second half, if little Billy ran into little Johnny, I would blow that whistle. Whoever was bigger was getting the foul the entire second half. And at the end of the game, I turned around to the sideline. I said, is that how you want me to do it?
Happy now?
Dropped the mic and left.
Love that. So basically there's like 122 stoppages with the whistle. And that's pretty good. I mean, that's quite literally what you're not supposed to do as a ref, I think.
Right. What at that age, 7, 8-year-olds.
That's like, his point.
You're lucky if all the kids on the field recognize that there's a soccer game
going
on.
Totally. And I don't mind it. You know, teach them a lesson and say, shut up. Watch the game and relax. When it comes to the official,
seriously,
leave me be. Probably getting paid $20 to be out here, whatever it was.
You want to start talking high school ball, travel stuff. You know, guy screws you. Okay, we can maybe have a condo. Everyone should settle down there. But for little kid stuff? I do not get. I see the parents at our games squawking at people. It's unbelievable to me.
Brandon Waldorf, what's good?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, dude.
You guys actually made my day with this topic because among my friends, I'm known as Petty Murphy. So
that's great.
a friend of mine, we were hanging with him every day because he was going through a divorce, you know. So we were watching games, playing video games, and all of this stuff. So one night he went to my car to get the controller so we could play some PS4. And he moved my car to prank me to make me think when I left that my car was stolen. So the next night to get him back, I kept showing him beers and kept showing him beers. That way he got real tipsy. So he nodded off. So what I did was I went to his cabin, got ketchup, put on the receiver of his phone. And he's a lazy guy. So, you know, he was one of those guys that wouldn't change the channel without the remote. So I took his remote home with me that night. And just as I left, I opened his balcony door so I could see him. And I kept calling his phone. And he would wake up and put the phone to his head, hello, hello. Not knowing the whole time he had ketchup all in his face. So for the next 2 days, I would come to his house. And he's like, man, I can't find my remote. And every so often, I hit the button and change the channel on him. He's like, dude, what's going on?
It took about a week
before he realized I had it.
Taking my remote would be one of the worst things in the world. Those like 5 minutes where I can't find it, I can't change the channel, it's somewhere in the couch, are infuriating.
It blood boiling. First of all, Petty Murphy is amazing.
Well done, all the way around. Great call. Yeah, you could fit in, it sounds like, with Dan Snyder, although his thing is, I mean, come on. You're ruining your own stadium.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Right.
You are defacing your own property in the interest of what? Being upset that you got charged something for what you bought. Pretty amazing. State of the Wizards with Tony Massenburg next. The draft is tonight. We're Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.